Inside the Birds is back. What's going on, everybody? Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan here for another edition of Inside the Birds as we're about 2 weeks into training camp. So what we're going to do is call this our mid-camp progress report. We have a lot of updates on a lot of players, and we're going to get this statement out right from the get-go. These are going to be observations, not from Adam and I. We've been to practices, but we hit up the sources this week. We want to tell you who's doing well, who could be doing better, what's the team thinking based on sourcing. So what we're going to say today in this podcast, what we're going to do is deliver the sourcing straight to you, and we'll put a table on what Adam and I have sold. Because as we say all the time, Adam, you would co-sign with this, sure, we think that we're pretty good. We think that our eyes don't deceive us. But when you see stuff in real time, it's great to observe that. But it's really what the tape shows you afterwards, where you see everything. We don't have advantage. We're not privy to the tape. So our sources are, and they'll give you a way better idea and picture of what's going on than just our four set of eyes trying to do the same. So everything we've got today is from sources, and we'll probably do this again maybe a week from now, and as we do anyway, at the end of camp, certainly. But we thought now would be a good time, Adam, right? Because the Eagles just had their practice at the Link on
last night.
Sunday night, right? Yeah. And it was 30,000 people, man. Awesome job, Eagles fans. That's amazing. Amazing turnout. Even the new players were impressed. A.J. Brown couldn't believe his eyes. He tweeted about how how amazing it was. But if you think about it, Adam, they're going to be off Monday. Then they've got two practices, Tuesday, Wednesday, but then off Thursday because it's the day before a game. Friday is your preseason game. Saturday is a day off. So there's not a whole lot of practice between now and this time next week. So now is a good time to really summarize what we've seen from the first half of camp.
Yes, yes. So they're off today. They had the practice Sunday night. Right. Yeah, it would be tough. Other than having a walkthrough on Monday, that's all you could really do. So if you practice the night before. So they're off today. And the big disappointment is all of the injuries. So they finished 2 weeks. This is their first full week that they just had. And the first 3 days, it was very light with injuries. And all of a sudden, man, they're down to their fourth left tackle. They're still down a bunch of tight ends. They now have corners who are hurt. Back-end corners were trying to fight for a spot. A couple guys come back to practice. Mac McCain was able to return, but limited. And, he's fighting for a roster spot. Mm-hmm. And the concussions, this is, two tackles and Boston Scott now have concussions. So they're piling up.
So I guess the oddity is that not only have they changed up a lot of what they do from OTAs to training camp to avoid injuries, with shorter practices, lighter practices. But they also have been wearing these protective helmets the whole league is doing it. They're wearing these helmet shells that are supposed to limit concussions. And somehow three guys have concussions. And I think, Adam, two of them came in not a green practice even. So, Nick Sirianni said he wasn't exactly sure when they happen, but it's kind of odd that they would have this many concussions when they're wearing the helmet shells. And of course, as you're saying, they've got more injuries than they would like to have, specifically at that one position, despite, all the measures that they've taken to reduce injuries and limit injuries.
Yeah.
Thankfully, none of them yet have been like the significant long-term 6 to 8 week type stuff.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I could tell you from, when was I there last Saturday? Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard, who suffered concussions in the Tuesday practice. Not only were they watching, they were doing very light work, which means they're progressing for the protocol. So they should be back, within the next week. So we might as well get into the injuries here. So we talked about Boston Scott. We'll go offense first. Scott, yeah, concussion. So you're looking at least a week. Devontae Smith with the groin, they're going to take it easy with him. Mm-hmm. So he's missed, obviously, unfortunately, the last 4 days of practice. We mentioned Mailata and Dillard with concussions. Loraymon Clark showed up with a hamstring injury. I guess he got hurt in Saturday's practice.
Crazy.
So that was bad. Greg Ward still out with a toe. That's not good for him because he's fighting for a roster spot. And Grant Calcaterra, as we noted a couple weeks ago or a week ago, we're told it's left hamstring, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 week recovery. So I would think the best he can hope for is to be able to play in the last preseason game. That's probably pushing it.
Yeah.
So to me, this is the thing. You know, he was doing really well, we're told. We saw it too when we were there. It's tough to, you know, they're going to have a problem with this roster in that it's the first time in years that the roster is so much better than it has been. There's some guys they probably want to keep unless they do, you can't be a phantom injury. Guys got to be hurt. But at this point, you know, I know that you can put them on short term IR now, but I mean, you can, you have to wait until, you have to wait until that you set to 53.
Right.
But the Calcaterra injury throws a wrench into their tight end position because he's a guy that is different from the other guys that they have, and they've really had high hopes for him.
Yeah, there's no doubt in speaking to some people that if you were to ask, you know, the Eagles, you know, what are some of their concerns right now, just overall roster-wise, tight end depth would be that because after Dallas Goedert, Jack Stoll's a good player and all, but – I mean, would he really be ready to be a number one tight end?
Yeah,
if you ever had to go to your short yardage, your goal line, your packages where you require 12 or 13 personnel, they really are struggling there. So it'll be interesting to see if they make any moves or who comes back in time to help them out there.
Here's the problem with tight end. So the Eagles are not the only team. There are other teams that I was just checking into this. Mm-hmm. There are other teams that are down two or three tight ends and some guys have signed. There have been a ton of tight end tryouts around the league. And once again, not just Calcaterra, Jaden Graham, a former Falcon who they brought in here mm-hmm. because of all the tight end injuries, he's done for the season. He's on IR unless they reach an injury settlement for him because he got put on IR. And now Richard Rodgers did return from PUP. They did sign Jared Williams, who's a UDFA, was with them in OTA. So he's back as he's a deep, deep, deep backup left tackle, but he's going to have to get some reps because they don't have anybody else right now.
Right.
It's you know, it's tough. Brett Toth is still in PUP, so they really got to figure this out.
Yeah. In fact, they had to start at left tackle Sunday night for the big link practice. Undrafted rookie free or an undrafted guy who's been with them for 2 years now. And I'm going to, you know, we know his Coyote is his first name, but you just alerted me to the correct pronunciation. It's not. I've been saying Awosika for a long time, but it is not correct. It is
Oshika. How do I know? Right before we went on here Monday morning, I went. There's a YouTube, a day in the life of University of Buffalo players. His final year there, I guess, and it was great. So like the first 45 seconds, he said it. I must have replayed it 10 times. Oshika, yeah. But he says it so quickly, you have to keep going back.
Right.
Right. You know, the thing with him, you know, he's short. He's more built for a guard or right tackle, though he's a left tackle in college. So they're just so down in numbers here that – and I know in a pinch, if they had to, Driscoll could do it. He could play left because he's done it before. But, you know, he's not ideally not a left tackle. He's a right or guard. And right now he's a backup right tackle. So, man, I give them credit. Hertz has done well the last couple of days, we're told. And I also saw that, and we'll get into him in a minute, just kind of breaking down what we've heard and what we've seen. But the fact of the matter is they got to get over this injury thing because, as you said, they got a preseason game coming up, and you need these backups to get some reps, and some of them are not able to play.
All right, let's go through just some other names. I think we've mentioned, you said Boston Scott, we said the concussion, Devontae yep. Smith, the groin, Maialata, Dillard, concussion, Clark, you mentioned, had the hamstring, Ward with the toe, Calcaterra, the ham knee, Javon Hargrave with a groin, the corners, Jimmy Moreland, Kerry Vincent, one Moreland with the ankle, Vincent with the groin. Again, groin too. This has been another thing.
Soft tissue.
Yeah, soft tissue. And Jaquaski Tartt, he was away for personal reason, right?
Yes. So a couple things. We're told on Moreland it is a not a severe ankle injury. It's They it didn't look good when he got hurt on Saturday, but we're told it's a slight ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how long he's down. And he's fighting for a roster spot. Yeah, he definitely is. I know they had high hopes for him to take that number five job, but he doesn't have it right now. I can tell you, even before the injury, he was definitely not the guy. Well, mm-hmm. later in the show, we'll tell you who that guy is. Vincent, who you mentioned, who's a long shot.
Yep.
You know, Tart needs these reps. He needs to learn the defense. So mm-hmm. still on PUP or Brett Toth, who we talked about. Richard Rodgers is back. Tyree Jackson with the right ACL. He's mm-hmm. doing really well, we're told. I watched him rehabbing. He looks good. We were told a month ago he looked good. He's raring to go, and we'll see. You know, you got to go the 9 months on the ACL, and he's a young player that you need reps, you know, certainly, but you got to be careful. So it's going to be interesting to see if they take him off PUP before the season starts, because if they do, then he can't go back on. So. Boy, they could use his reps now, man. They're really down at tight end.
Yeah, I mean, it is very. It was a bad sign. I mean, as soon as Rodgers came off, Jaden Graham went to
literally within minutes.
it was sort of crazy. Like you gain one tight end, and you lose one, and now you're net neutral in a position where you were hoping to be at just adding.
Well,
I'm
just gonna say right now the only healthy tight ends they have are Ortega Whiteside. By the way, he got dinged, I guess, in a practice, but he came. He's good to go. Goddard, Stahl, Togiai, Rodgers, and Ortega Whiteside. That's one, two, three, four, five. So they have enough to get through practice. But as we were talking about the last show, because you're going to have practice, guys playing on different fields, because you have. You might do 11-on-11 or 7-on-7 here. You might do individual here. You might do one-on-ones here. You want to have six or seven. Five is pushing it, but they've been down in numbers the entire training camp.
Right.
So they've had around five all the time, and that's where they're at.
Yeah, yeah. All right, certainly a spot they need to get better luck and health at. And then Mac McCain, I think we mentioned, had returned.
Yes, limited.
Because he was out. He was limited for a little. Yeah, he is limited, but he was out with a knee. So a lot to talk about with those cornerbacks, those bottom roster cornerbacks who are all competing. Let's get into some of our intel first. I want to stop right here and let everybody hear a word from our friends at Blue Chew.
Hey, everyone, we all know that there's a lot in common between excelling at sports and excelling in the bedroom or wherever you and your partner like to be intimate. But if you don't have the confidence to be at your best, it can affect your performance, whether that's on the field or behind closed doors. That's why BlueChew.com is coming to the rescue. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form. And at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men combat all forms of ED. And because Blue Chew is an online prescription service, you don't have to worry about those awkward trips to the doctor or uncomfortable pickup lines at your local pharmacy. Blue Chew ships right to your doorstep in a discreet package. So just go to BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive prescription within days. That's the best part. This whole thing is done online. It's convenience you can't beat. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength you need for your prescription. This is such a great alternative for those who hate taking pills. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable, easy, and made in the USA, which makes preparation and direct shipping very convenient. If you want a special offer, we got one for you. Try Blue Chew free by using the promo code ITB at checkout. You only pay the $5 shipping charge. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ITB, all one word, to get your first month free. Guys, get your confidence back so you too can perform again like a star athlete.
All right, let's get into what we're told, as I called it, our mid-camp progress report. And we'll literally go from position to position. So always smart to start at quarterback and Jalen Hurts. Everybody always wants to know about Jalen Hurts. It's, I can't change public opinion and the roller coaster of it. But the idea of good practice, bad practice, you know, up and down. I mean, there's truth to it in that, you know, from what we've been told, there's some while he's improved in some areas, it's still overall kind of uneven. There are some good days, there are some days where you wish he would do a little bit better. But that's sort of, I mean, I don't want to call it the nature of the position, but it's sort of what they've got right now with Jalen Hurts. I mean, he still remains a work in progress. They're happy with certain things, and they want to, even Nick Sirianni mentioned, and I think he was doing this intentionally. He was talking about his offense in the press conference before the Link workout. And he said, I'm not going to say what it is, but there's an area of our pass offense that I'm trying to get us to work on and improve a little bit. Now, he sort of gave, I believe, the answers to the test away in that, because at the time he was speaking about being able to attack from multiple levels. And he was mentioning some other players that he had that were really good at, you know, attacking from the second level or attacking from the third level. So I think you might have been able to deduce from it, he might have been talking about a little bit more of an aerial attack, like a second to third level attack. But again, he didn't, he perfectly purposely said, I want to not say what it is, but I want to see some improvement in that area.
Yeah, it could be deep overs. It could be.
Right. It could have been more specific than just
second. Right. There's certain kind of routes, deep comebacks. Sure. Which, by the way, that's a power for a deep comeback is certain quarterbacks. Like, you're not going to see Minshew most likely throw a deep comeback because that's a power throw. You got to push off your back leg.
Right.
You've done it for 20 minutes. It's just a power throw, though it's not deep down the field. Mm-hmm. So here's where we're told Hurts has improved. His progression reading from 1 to 2 is much better than it was. He's not bailing very little, if at all. He's trusting his eyes more. That's improvement. There's no doubt. Now, I know he's been inconsistent. That's a fact. His last 3 or 4 practices, you're starting to see some improvement. Where he was very choppy the first week and a half, he's closed the week much better. Saturday, boy, he had a pass on Saturday. Give you my bird's eye view, because just like you said, I can only go through my mind what I saw, and I go keep going back, keep playing it back in my mind. So then, you know, you ask people, hey, what I saw, was it true? Yeah, the pass was right in. It was it was 11-on-11. I think he beat Slay. I'm not 100% sure. Down the right side, down the right, and it would have been a touchdown. What happened is Brown won with leverage. But he looked up and the ball was in his hands. He just didn't have time to adjust his eyes. And it was too bad. Yeah, it was too bad because the pass was. And here's the great thing about Hurts on that throw. This is the kind of stuff that I look for. Does he throw with anticipation? Does he throw with timing? It's really important at the quarterback position. He did. He threw it in the he's like, I'm trusting you to win this route. You're in the middle of it. I'm trusting you're going to win. That's really important. Because that's NFL football. That's what you have to do at this level. When the games count, you got to trust your eyes and trust your pass targets. When Wentz was special in 17, he trusted the hell out of him. Hurts has not gotten to that point yet. A little bit last year, not nearly enough. That was just one pass that I saw, and other people who were there, who would know, saw it. And this is, again, it's an individual throw, but this shows growth. And we've seen this throughout training camp, where he's trusted the pass targets, and he trusts Goddard like nobody's business. And the thing with another one for you, he's throwing the ball over the middle on crossers to
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown on the bang eight. That's the Titans play. I don't know what they call it here, but it's a bang eight play where it's play action. 3-step, boom.
Right.
That's they may have it a little slightly different, but that's going to be a big play. And by the way, Goddard's getting it too. Goddard's getting a lot of seam stuff. You're starting to see them throw the ball, get him over the middle. So this is good. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I from my understanding, the RPO is still, you know, they want to have a better passing offense, but an RPO can be a pass. Sure. So, I mean, it's a 50-50 proposition based on the numbers or what the quarterback's decision is going to be. So that's still going to be a big part of the game. And that route that you're talking about, the quick play action slant over the middle, I think AJ Brown was tailor-made for that route, to be honest with you. I mean, he's got that's the route that you want AJ Brown for. And the RPO, the ability to A, work that route, and then B, pull it the next time while they try to adjust and then have Jalen run a little bit, is going to be, it should be an advantage for them. And I you know, you saw a play like that at the link where he did pull it and he ran and he did one of those jukes and Brandon Graham, you know, was like out of his ankles the way he did that in New Orleans. So those two kind of should work off each other in that way, where you can work your RPO game with great crisp pass, short passing and running. And that should be, you know, a big part of what the Eagles do offensively. So again, the best way to kind of summarize, I agree that people have seen improvement in Jalen throwing across the middle, going through progressions. There are practices where they think he's doing a good job of it. There are some where they think he could be doing a better job of it. And so they will continue to work it and work on it. And you know what? It's not just going to stop when training camp ends. I'm sure it'll still continue throughout the season.
Yeah. So the timing's better. So we'll see over the next few weeks and whether he plays in the preseason at all. But the good thing is he's starting to get the chemistry going. It's too bad that Devontae Smith is hurt because he's missed a lot of practice time.
Right.
They need to get him back. Because as Sirianni talked Sunday night, you know, they got, plus Watkins is the fourth pass target. This is the best developed pass target group they've had, and they're young. They're going to be together for a long time, particularly Brown and Smith and Goddard. We'll see how long Watkins, this is his third year of his four-year deal. But it's kind of cool because their line is so elite. They have the best offensive line in football, and everybody knows it. It's terrific. They have good depth, but their starting unit, which we'll get into and kind of what we've heard guys have looked like in camp. But when they got things going on, this offense has a chance to be pretty interesting.
All right. So we may have a story developing at backup quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And we started to allude to it last podcast.
Actually, 4 weeks ago, really.
Yeah, that's true. But like, I think, you know, once they got on the field and started to show it, you know, we saw it with our own eyes, and then now we've got it kind of double confirmed that Reed Sinnett is a guy who is opening up some eyes in camp. I mean, like you said, they've already, year two in this offense, they already expected a little more. They like what they were seeing going back to minicamp, but he's doing a nice job. And interestingly, he got second team reps the other night at the link practice. Showcases a strong arm, but Adam, what we're told really is that the coaches like the way he comes to work every day. They think he's great in the classroom, good leadership. And it's not just like, you know, it's your personality is good, but you're ugly. He's got a good arm. We've seen that.
Where did you come up with that one?
Well, I'm just trying to say, I'm not trying to say the whole leadership and person and stuff to like kind of, you know, make it seem better than it is. The arm strength is there. The mobility is that they like him physically well. I'm just saying that what really appeals to him is how he's come into camp this year and taken on that role and is really good in the classroom. And he's had a good camp.
It's important. Yeah, that's important. Now, what happened is I'm assuming I saw him in OTAs, the one practice we got. Mm-hmm. And then where I'm like, okay, I need to see if this is what this means. And then I watched him 2 weeks ago, whenever their first practice. It's the first time I ever actually sort of studied him. So, you know, we ran it through some people and they said, yeah, this is true. He's opening some eyes. I'm like, okay. He was with the Bucs, with the Dolphins, as a UDFA in 2020 with Tampa. He's with his third team. And I'm, you know, as I was watching him last week, I'm like, what did these other teams not see and the Eagles are seeing here? Because this kid could spin it.
Yes.
And he's big too. He's 6'4", and you talked about his work ethic.
Yep.
Remember now, Minshew on the last year's rookie deal, and he's had an up and down camp, and Carson Strong's really not ready. This preseason, you and I were talking before we were dropping this today. This preseason could be fascinating for Sinnett here to make a push. I know they really probably only want to keep two quarterbacks, keep one on the practice squad, but this Sinnett kid may upset the apple cart a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. He's going to get a ton of opportunities in the preseason games, as you mentioned. So we'll see. But right now, between him and Carson Strong, it's not even close.
Oh.
Reed Sinnett is way more ready to go into a game and compete than Carson Strong is. And so
we'll have to see what happens over these preseason games and how it all shakes out when the 53 is done. But yeah, right now Reed Sinnett is clearly ahead of Carson Strong.
Oh, yeah.
Carson, and we both said this in the last pod that just watching him in practice, it sort of seemed like, you know, we know he has a great arm, but he was making throws and looking uncertain out there. And it just, you could tell he was swimming. And then I kind of, you know, ran that up a couple of flagpoles. I think you did too. And we got the same feedback that going from that Nevada offense to this offense. In fact, I was told it's not even knee related, that you know, we know the knee's an issue as far as it's been medically repaired, but he's not struggling with that. It's right now, it's just all, you know, in his head and just trying to learn the offense and everything.
Because on that, what happens is it makes your footwork, when you're not sure where to go, you may take a false step. Your footwork's all screwed up. And this mentally, it's tough when you're not processing well enough, when you're not comfortable with this offense, mm-hmm. which is sort of an amalgamation of a couple different schemes. It technically may be West Coast, but it's really not. I'd say this much. It's supposed to be a timing. We were told back in, I don't know, March of last year, it's supposed to be old school timing based offense. I guess you could call it like that.
I think the routes are. It's just like RPOs are not really a West Coast offense thing, right? That's more of a new wave spread. And running with your quarterback zone reads. But I think I would say the routes are probably closer to West Coast.
Yes.
At least what we saw last year.
I'd agree.
And what we're hearing now. Yeah.
So to sum it up, Hurts is making progress. Minshew's been uneven. So that's been a big story. Like if you list the five surprising stories, Sinnett's right up there. Like we got one on defense, which we didn't see this coming. That'll be coming soon. On the show. But Sinnett's in my top three, I would say. I don't know about you, but he's my top three surprises.
Certainly jumped out to me when we looked into it. I don't have much on running backs because the top three are the top three. And the only thing that I came across would be the idea that, as we've talked about already, there's not an urgency right now to find a quote unquote big back, but maybe by the end of camp, when there's some cut downs, if there's a veteran that they feel like they need, it may happen, but that's, you know, we're a couple of weeks away from that. And that's only if they, and again, that could be another guy that they stash on the practice squad to call up if needed. But right now the top three are the top three. Sanders, Gainwell, Scott, when he's not concussed, and we go from there.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that if you just look at all the big backs that are out there, there are so many of them. There are like 10 of them.
And that's just out there right now. I mean, think about all the ones that will be cut, in the next 2 weeks or so.
Yep. Carlos Hyde, Latavius Murray. We've heard the Eagles were at this point, they have not looked at him yet. We'll see if they do at some point. Devontae Freeman, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Jordan Howard, who had a workout last week with the Saints. Alex Collins is very physical. Justin Jackson, who was draft pick for, he actually played well last year. I'm surprised the Chargers didn't want him back. Mm-hmm. Kalen Ballage is a guy with size who's could be goal line. So the Eagles have significant leverage here with anyone they want. They could just sign him, convince these guys, hey, look, we're going to be really good. Want a chance to win a Super Bowl? Okay, it's a little strong. But you want to have a chance to go to the playoffs?
Right.
We got a great chance. That's the way I would look at it if I'm the front office.
No doubt about it. All right, so let's move on to pass catchers. And I think we already kind of covered the tight end situation. There's not a lot of competition at the right moment because, you know, Goddard's number one and Stoll is obviously the number two. And there's too many people hurt right now to even talk about number three. But wide receiver is interesting. I mean, we know, obviously, that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, when they're both healthy, are the top two. We've talked about Quez Watkins. Now, Zach Pascal finally returned to practice a little bit. He's going to get caught up. I thought Sirianni's press conference, again, was interesting because he mentioned two wide receivers by name I guess he was asked about one in particular, so he had to. But he said that he really likes Britton Covey's quickness, and he sort of went into detail about that. And then he also, Adam, I don't know if you heard him talk about, there was a time where they felt like Quez needed to get the ball a little more. So they called a couple of plays where they knew Quez could be one of the first two reads based on the defense. So as we say all the time here, when we're talking about the three and four receivers, you just heard Quez Watkins' name, you know, Zach Pascal. And Britton Covey is going to be a guy, if he can handle, continue to handle it, is going to compete for that punt returner slash maybe get on the field and see some time in the slot.
All right, I'm going to add running back intel, which we didn't talk about. We definitely need to talk about after we're done receivers and tight ends.
Definitely. We'll go back to running back then. Okay.
Okay. So A.J. Brown has been as advertised. We've blown him up pretty big here the last week or so. Our eyes didn't deceive us. He wins most of the time. I love what Slay said. He's making him a better football player because he's probably not, I mean, I don't know if he's going against him in his career, but when you play against a guy that's just tough physically, he's just a rare wide receiver. They're physical receivers. There's this guy, one of the most physical receivers in the game. He's just going to make you better because it helps you change your technique. Okay, I was on him. It didn't work. What do I do here? How do I win this hand fighting?
Right.
So it will make him better, no doubt about it. He's right. I love his line about the 50-50 balls. He makes them 70-30 balls. Great. That's hilarious. That's a great line.
That is pretty funny. That is a good line.
It's a good one. So what we've heard with Brown is, I would say he's a better route runner than they probably knew, because we've talked about how he wins with leverage and power and hands and determination, but he is very crisp in his routes. Cooper Kupp is arguably, and Devontae Adams are maybe the two best route runners in the NFL. I'm not putting him at their level, but the word that we've heard is he's better route runner than he'd be given credit for, because no one ever really talks about that. Mm-hmm. It just came up in a conversation I had with someone who I thought brought up a good point, because everybody talks about one thing, they don't talk about the other stuff, and he will block for the run game, which is important. They're still going to run. So he's been as advertised. We don't need to go on and on and on. We've talked about him since the trade and kind of why the Titans did it, and you know how it's not good for them because they don't have anyone to replace him. But anyway, Watkins has been good out of the slot. He's still primarily vertical slot. We'll see when Smith gets back from his groin injury how they do it, because Smith now will be a true Z, where I know that Sirianni likes to say inside and outside. He doesn't go by the letters. I get it. And Brown, you can move him. He's not your typical X who just lines up on one side. He'll be moved a little bit, but he's going to be more stationary than probably Smith will be, obviously. And then Deion Kane has been a story. He's definitely pushing, as we said a couple weeks ago. If they could move Rager, if they decide to move Rager, then I think chances are going to that Deion Kane will make the team, or certainly seriously push for. And then Britton Covey, first three, 4 days, quiet. This past week, terrific. Short area quickness, phenomenal. I don't know what his 10 is. It's got to be good because you see it on the field. He's really come on after a nondescript. First three or four days last week, the first week. But Sirianni's right, because in OTAs, apparently from what we heard, he was wowing them to the point where, like, okay, let's see what happens when it really matters. And now he's ratcheted it up. And also on specials, he's got that great 10 to 12 yard burst. So I'm still going to go with what I said back in OTAs. I believe he'll wind up being the punt returner. I know it's got to play itself out. But they're very happy with him. And they did a lot of homework on him last fall. In fact, I guess they were pretty familiar with him. I don't know who the scout is, but apparently everybody seemed to know about him. Although he's UDFA, they did a lot of homework on him, and I don't know what they gave him money wise, but they did a good job scouting him. And I have a feeling they're going to be right about him. This is yet another UDFA they're probably going to get right, but of course that means he's got to make the team.
Yeah, here's the money quote from Nick Sirianni. He said, "I don't think it's going to be a secret to the rest of the NFL is how quick he is. Everyone," this is the money quote, "everyone is going to see how quick he is, and everyone is going to remember the plays he made at Utah with his quickness." That's sort of big talk for a guy who's got to make the 53.
I know.
I mean, I don't think he mentioned Jalen Reagor's name once the entire press conference, and yet Britton Covey, Quez Watkins, you know. So I mean, the writing is sort of on the wall there.
Well,
again, he's got to make it. I'm not putting Britton Covey on the 53. I'm just saying you learn a lot about a guy with how a coach speaks of him.
Great point. Look, that's when I heard him say it Sunday night. I wasn't paying attention that the Reagor name not mentioned, but he blew up Covey so strong, he's acting like he's going to be on the team. So, okay, Brown, Smith, Watkins, Pascal, or Locks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to put Covey on the team? That's five. If they trade Reagor, then it's probably going to be five. Now, Kane could be six. If that's another Sirianni guy who's shown he's all the way back from the bad knee injury. It's taken him a long time, but it's been 4 years, but he looks great. We'll see what the preseason shows. And Devin Allen, to me, I can't imagine he'll make the team. Mm-hmm. He didn't show much at all.
No, one guy I can say that the team has been, you know, pleased with, and again, I don't know how he gets onto the team, but maybe he's a guy on the practice squad, is Deion Kane.
Yep.
Who
I just mentioned.
You mentioned. I'm sorry. He's a guy who needs to get out on the field and get a lot of reps to really understand, you know, his role. But when he does and has that understanding, he performs well. So he has made an impression in camp, and we'll just see where that leads to.
Preseason. It's going to be, to me, he's got to show.
Yeah.
Here's another one for you. And we'll be at both the Browns and the Dolphins coming up one week after another. That's when, because coaches will tell you, these joint practices are like games. In fact, they're like two practices in one, because you practice with your own guys first, and then you mix it up with the other team, and they're ratchet up their physical. Kane's got to win. Kane's got to win, though. He can't have a bad week or a slow week. He's got to keep it going, because they're going to, I'm telling you, for the first time, and we'd have to go back and ask or look, but the first time in 4 or 5 years, they legitimately have 58 to 60 players that they probably want to keep as of right now that they're really happy with. Mm-hmm. Whereas, man, I think last year we were like, they have like maybe 47 players are good enough or 48, but you know, it's really not that good of a roster this year. I mean, folks, you know, folks who really follow this team know this is a really good roster. Now they got to play like it, but on paper, it's a pretty good roster.
Yeah. What was the running back note that you wanted to drop on us?
Yeah, just a couple things here, quickly here, with the running back. So Sanders has been, as we had noted in the OTAs, he looked bigger, but he's looked really explosive. So the muscled up stuff, the bulk has not slowed him down. I want to make sure to mention that, because that I sometimes have a problem with running backs. Oh, they put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle. Well, wait a minute. Is the guy going to be special now that he's, you know, you got to be careful of that stuff. The guys sometimes come less fluid, but no, he's looked the part. He's had a great camp. There are definitely contrasting styles with Gainwell and Sanders. They're completely different. Gainwell gets so low. He gets so low. I understand why he gets goal line carries. And Gainwell's going to be, he's just going to be mostly a passing down back. Here's the question. You brought this up the last show. We know last year that they were primarily two-back offense with Hurts as the third option to run the football. Boston Scott got a nice guarantee. We don't know yet. We've checked in this. We don't know. I mean, Sirianni said it. They were two-back offense last year. He said it in passing. Mm-hmm. But when you're paying Scott a good guarantee, Gainwell and Sanders are obviously going to be heavily involved. I'd love to know how they're going to make this work.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to answer for them. I'll just, based on the observations, you know, I know they gave Boston Scott some money, and they probably did it because they wanted him back, and they probably felt he would be used because of the injuries that they've seen at that position to Miles Sanders and others. You know, Jordan Howard, when he's been on team, has had injuries. But it's not like they gave him a ton of money. They just gave him good money for his pedigree and resume in the NFL. So I would still think it's a two-back offense, but the history says Boston Scott's going to wind up being one of those two backs during a stretch of the season. And when he is, they use him. You know, it's weird because he collects dust, But then they don't really ease him back in once he's ready to go. And they did it with Jordan Howard, right? He collected dust for weeks on the practice squad. Then they call him up and bam, he's 8-9 carries a game.
So, yeah, that's why I think they'll just keep three running backs. Scott will be the third.
Yep.
$1.1 million, it was $1.75 million total money. It was fully guaranteed at signing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to cut him. He's too good. And he's the guy's a good football player. And also, he could return kicks because their punt thing is, it's still kind of what we had said. It's in the end, it's probably going to, it's either if Rager's on the team, it's Covey or Rager. Right. If Rager's not, it's Covey. Now, kickoff, it could be. And we didn't even mention John Hightower, who's opened some eyes occasionally, we're told, at camp. I remember you'd said that you'd heard the one thing about him as a rookie, despite all the negativity, he still was a pretty good route runner, I think you'd said.
Route runner and picks up the playbook fairly quickly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now he's more of a practice squad to me, a guy. And we fall return to practice after the minor injury, but that's running back. We just want to make sure we talk about Gainwell and Sanders because they're it's interesting. They're just completely different runners. Like there's nothing they do that's similar.
That is true. They are different. They're built differently. They run differently.
Yeah, totally different.
Certainly they catch differently.
Oh yeah. And Gainwell for fantasy folks, Sanders, I just don't see him. You know, obviously when he's in there, he can get a check down, mm-hmm. but he's going to be pulled a lot in third down. That's just the reality of the situation.
Awesome. All right, so O-line, right?
Oh, yeah, tight end, too, we got to do, but yeah.
Well, I thought we talked about the tight ends pretty much, unless you're
– What I want to add, one more thing.
Yeah.
Is Goddard has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to deal with Ertz. You know, they tried to trade Ertz last summer.
Right.
They couldn't get anything that they felt was fair. They waited. They still didn't get a great offer. who knew that he was – Zach was all the way back from the ankle surgery. Good for him. Got a three-year deal, but Goddard looks phenomenal. See, what they do is, and I know that, you know, they've down a lot of tight ends, but they're just rotating him not to wear him out. They really treat the veterans like they don't overwork them, and that's good. And obviously with the days off to a week and plus the walkthroughs, you're not overworking them anyway. So he looks fresh. They think he's, the way we've heard, they think he's going to have a huge year.
Yes.
Huge year. Now, what does that mean? Is it 80 catches? Is it 70? Is the career high? Yes. But he also, look, we know he's had injuries in his career, and he drops, you know, trying to run with the ball when he doesn't have it, that kind of thing. But
mm-hmm.
the guy is one of the top five most talented tight ends in the league. And I would agree with some people we talked to. I think this will be a breakout year. Now, they're going to be more of a passing offense. We'd love to know how much more, but it's going to be more passing, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And in order to have a good passing offense, you have to have a great offensive line. You said the Eagles have the best. I would not argue with you. And it seems like the news gets better with them, which is amazing. First of all, Lane Johnson has had a great camp. He just looks spectacular. You heard Nick Sirianni call him the best right tackle in the world. And by the way, if you're best right tackle in the world, then you might as well just say he's the best right tackle in the entire solar system or universe because – as far as we know, there's no other right tackles on any.
We'll call it football. I mean, but look, Sirianni.
No, he's the best right tackle. It's got to be better than college football because he's the best right tackle in the world.
Well, no, you always just say he's best right tackle in football. People are like, well, okay, he must be only the NFL. Well, obviously, that whoever says stuff like that must be in college football too. But
yeah,
in all seriousness, Sirianni boasts a lot about his players, and sometimes we roll our eyes, and we know the fans do, but. He's right. And Johnson's by far the best right tackle in football. It's not close.
Oh, see, I don't know about that. I think Ramczyk's really good. Good right tackle.
Here's the thing, though. No, here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
No one's a super freak athlete that like Lane. That's the thing that people don't understand. Yes, he's a technician. Fair.
To me, though, it's like, do you block your guy or do you not? I mean, it's great that he's a super freak athlete.
Yeah, but you have to – if you graded everything, if you were grading a tackle,
mm-hmm.
everything, technique – hand usage, footwork, size, athleticism, all the, you know, if you grade the right way, like coaches do,
sure.
He's the best right tackle in football. He rarely has an error. And Lane will tell you, because you and I have talked to him, and I remember talking to the locker room time mm-hmm. when he knows exactly what he did when he made the few errors he has per season. He's healthy. You know, everything's going well with him. He's unbelievably gifted. And I can't say this because it wasn't like I was at every practice. I know some people think this perhaps might be his best camp as a professional, just saying something. And he's elite. He's special. He will not only go in the Eagles Hall of Fame. I do wonder if he keeps this up, how far he can go.
Right. No, no. Listen, I'm with you. I'm just saying, if I'm Tristan Wirfs or Ramczyk from the Saints, I might, you know, like want to
think about
how much further he is better. Because those guys are really good too.
Lane is about
They're not built like Lane though. I tell you that.
That's the thing. He's so elite athletically.
Yes.
Tackles like Jason Peters, who's called Dancing Bear, like Jonathan Ogden.
Yeah.
Like they always say, well, these guys are big guys are just not supposed to move like that. That's true. Yeah. Especially Ogden, my God, 6'8".
Yeah.
Oh, or Orlando Trent, Pace. But then,
Then there's Trent Williams.
Trent Williams, right. But Lane, remember, is a basketball player, a former quarterback. He's just incredible. And the problem with offensive line is the public does not really, when they watch games on television, particularly non-Eagle fans, if you're not watching coaching tape, you don't really know how special this guy is.
That's fair.
He just rarely makes a mistake.
Right.
Another part of it.
That is good. But we already knew Lane was really good. We just wanted to say that. But obviously the biggest question we talked about all offseason would be who is going to be right guard with Landon Dickerson now entrenched as the left guard. Is Isaac Seumalo going to come back from this injury and have to adjust to it? Is Jack Driscoll going to give him a challenge? And through our midweek progress report, mid-camp progress report, I can tell you this is not a challenge. This is not a race. Isaac Seumalo's job. And Jack Driscoll is a nice backup swing tackle guard. But he's had a great camp, Seumalo, from what we've heard.
A couple things. I'm just kind of surprised. Like, I know that Seumalo was the right guard in OTAs. But to not even let Driscoll have a chance to push him, I get it. It's Stoutland. It's his decision. He does whatever he wants. No, who could possibly argue with him? He's phenomenal. Just a little surprised. That's all. Now, a couple things here. We're told Isaac's lost a lot of weight. I think we heard he's down in the low 300s. Don't know exact number. Now, I don't know if that's down 15 or 20 pounds. And the funny thing was, so I saw him with his helmet off. You know how this because you're at practice. These damn practice jerseys.
They wear them so up. I hate that.
Well, that's one of them. They lift it. No, but here's the thing, though. The sixes and eights is next to impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah.
By the way, these go back 20 years, the same damn problem.
Right.
It's annoying as hell. So.
And two and three, by the way, when they do the half, when they roll their jerseys up, it's hard to tell the two from the
hard,
three.
Right. Yeah. So you know, I'm like, ordinarily I would know it was Isaac Seumalo because his hair, it's like a mushroom. You know, he wears it out, right? Well, he got a haircut really short, and he was his back was towards me. I couldn't tell which number it was. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking, who's 56. So I see him, you know, he walks by me. I'm like, that's Seumalo. How? Oh my God, is he smaller? It's not just his hair. Wow, did he lose a lot of weight? And he's had a great camp. He's all the way back, man. He's we know he's on the last year's deal and he gets hurt a lot, but guys,
this is what Brandon Brooks did coming off his injuries, right? He transformed his body. Now it turned out he would wind up having another injury anyway.
We became Mr. Olympia though.
But like he went from kind of the bigger, heavier, beefier right guard, which he was good at being, just like Seumalo was, to the more physique, stronger, chiseled athlete, and he was good at that too. But then he got hurt again. So hopefully for Seumalo, he has better health luck. Hopefully this helps him stay healthy.
Sure.
I mean, some of the injury stuff he's had has been freak injury. I don't think it's been a weight issue, but you never know.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting thing. The Eagles spent some money this offseason, even past, you know, they obviously went out and got Hassan Reddick and they spent some money on him. And then they brought in Kaiser White. You know, they had their early wave of free agency and then they started to bring a few more guys in. And it was told to me that there was a point where they, because they're tight against the cap now for this year, where they thought maybe with all their offseason moves that Seumalo then would wind up being, you know, like a cap, not a cap casualty per se, but if you're going to spend money here, and someone has to go and you need to save some for either an extension or just to have some space, that maybe Seumalo would be that guy. And we've been talking about that for a while, just as far as him having injuries and what happens if Driscoll's better. But that conversation has been tabled because he's been so good. He's worth what is his starter money. I mean, his contract was team friendly anyway. It's only not team friendly if he's a backup. But as a starter and a productive one, it's a good contract. How many years are left? One or two?
This is it. Yeah, in fact.
Third one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he had two voidables, 23 and 24. Actually, 23 through 25 void. So this is his last year now. $4.978 million is his base salary. Cap number $7.668. There's no guaranteed money left. So he's the right guard. That's, you know, this is a new position. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. And what we're told is he's been comfortable. Now, we'll see when they go against the Browns front in the joint practice. That Dolphins front is nasty.
Dolphins, too. That is a nasty front.
Right, yeah. For sure, yeah. But he's passed the test. Another good story. I felt we were so negative last season because we were telling the truth last season. There was a lot of bad with this team. They made the playoffs. Yeah. Roster wasn't very good. They overachieved. As we go through this offense, I'm like, I'm not trying to be negative purposely, but I'm like, everything's so positive. I'm just kind of shocked at it. It's been hard to find anything negative. Lane Dickerson apparently had some pass blocks that could be better, mm-hmm. but he's not rehabbing. He's a mauler.
Right.
My lotto looks terrific. He's getting more and more used to the hand usage and, mm-hmm. He's in great, absolutely for the best shape of his life. I mean, if you could say someone's in great shape at 380, you could say it. You know, he really is. Dillard came in camp and, you know, jacked up.
Right.
With some other stuff, but what else do you have?
Well, you know, continuing some of the good news is we're told Cam Jurgens has surprised them in camp. Like, they already knew he was a good athlete. That part is not surprising. In fact, you know, that was one of the big reasons he was a second round pick. And sort of that heir apparent to Jason Kelce was the athleticism and the strength that he has. But he had an opportunity to get in with the first team offense at center early with Jason Kelce was out progressing from COVID. And I was told he did an excellent job of mastering the mental part of that position, identifying coverages, calling out the mic, getting everybody on the same page. I was told he's doing a really good job of that. They're very impressed with him in the one-on-ones. And we mentioned this in the last pod. When he has to go up against a huge guy like Jordan Davis, he's held his own. He's had a plan. He executes the plan well. He's not perfect by any stretch of the means, but everything that they've wanted him to be so far, he has been for them. So that's a good sign. Again, he's not going to start. And I was told that I think he's taken a couple of guard reps and it hasn't been perfect.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, they're still trying to, it may have been like not in a game or a 7-on-7. It may have just been, I don't know, situational practice walkthrough. I have no idea, but that that's still a work in progress for him. But as far as having to go in, play center and understand everything that a center has to bring to the table mentally, which is a lot, they've been very impressed.
Yeah, so what's interesting about Jurgens is he only played center for 2 years at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tested very well mentally, which is always good. His 10-yard split was outstanding for a center.
Yep.
At 171. If you're under 175, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic. The thing that's going to happen if he ever has to play is getting the quarterback out of a bad spot. That's always the key. But as you said, so far, so good. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that met with Kelce in his pre-draft visit and they hit it off. And, you know, he raved to the front office and he did some homework on him, from what we understand. And
right.
he definitely gave his voice to it. Some people think he didn't pick the player, but some people think he had an impact on it. You never know what the truth is, but mm-hmm. Fact of the matter is we know it's been speculated that this is Jason's guy and Jason actually said it. So we'll see if it works long term. But we could finally say something about this, as we said the last time we talked about him. This is definitely once and for all, not Dickerson, not Seumalo, This is the handpicked guy. This is the guy they finally got to replace Kelce.
There you go. Last thing I have, Adam, offensive line, is that a guy that they've been impressed with his development is Sua Opeta, who we've seen have to play at times. And we've talked about how he's sort of limited in that he can only play guard. And at one point, it was only left guard. There's always been this about Sua. He's always had strong hands and been a very strong guard. He's not the big beefy guy. He's just a really strong kind of country strong guard. And but he's also another guy who's got to get into a lot of reps. He's got to understand the assignments, and they got to really work with him. And it sounds like this camp, he's done a better job of picking things up and showcasing himself. So there's an opportunity. I mean, if they keep nine offensive linemen, certainly beyond the starting five, you'll have, you know, Juergens potentially six and Dillard seven and Driscoll eight. And then you start talking about, well, who could be nine or 10. LaRaven Clark probably is going to be in that conversation. And then 10 could be Sua Opeta, but they could easily trade one of the guys we just mentioned, like Dillard. So that bumps everybody up a little bit in the backups.
Yeah. So Peta, the thing with him was when he was a rookie in 2019 undrafted, sorting was the challenge for him, as you know, traffic when you're playing inside, it's just sorting, you know, the traffic that comes to you, and that's something he had to work on, but he's gotten better with it.
Right.
So yeah, look, Driscoll right now is a backup right tackle. With all these injuries, you do wonder, someone asked us this a week ago, and I said I'd address it. What do we think the Eagles would take for Dillard? But my point is this. If Mailata gets hurt and they traded Dillard, I'm sorry. LaRaven Clark's a decent backup. I'd rather have Dillard, wouldn't you?
Yes, but the problem is this is the last year of his deal. You're not going to franchise tag him.
Mm-hmm. No, of course.
And you're not going to sign him to an extension. You have an opportunity to get something for him. I think you sometimes, if you get a good offer, you have to do it and take your chances with your coach, selling your development. You've got LaRaven Clark, who's played the position. You know, and that's not, I can't imagine, I don't think Jack Driscoll could play left tackle. I think he's either right.
If he had to, they think he could do it, but yes, it's not
going to be great at it.
Not ideal at all.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Well, let's put it this way. If they thought this was going to be an average team below average, I would say absolutely trade Dillard.
Yeah.
And you've got this roster, I'm telling you, I'm not a homer, folks. You know, the people said we're too negative. We just tell you what we know, what we hear, and what we see. This is a really good roster.
Yeah.
If this is not a playoff team, it would mean that they suffered a lot of injuries. I'm sorry. There's no excuse for this team not to be. And their schedule's good. They got in the playoffs by a miracle with a below average roster, which you attribute to the coaches and the players for playing, you know, doing everything the right way. Mm-hmm. This roster's way better than last year. The depth is much better. So I wouldn't do it. Well, let me ask you this, though. Would you do it for a third?
Yeah, I probably would. I would.
Okay.
I would.
All right. Well,
we're talking about Andre Dillard here. He has not gone in and played some high level of left. They've gotten by with him. I think he still struggles in pass protection against bull rushes. He was obviously good enough for the run heavy offense, RPO offense, screen offense, for them to be able to use his athleticism, which he has really good. And I know he's bulked up, and I know it's the best, but like, we're still talking about a guy who has not started more than five games in his career or six games. So if you're giving me a third round pick for that, yeah, I'm pulling the trigger. Because I can't tell you right now that he's that much better than LaRaven Clark as a long haul player. I mean, I know LaRaven's just okay, and the Colts didn't want him, so he can't be that great. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that sometimes if your offense is playing well enough, you can sort of disguise it. Like, isn't Matt Pryor the starting left tackle for the Colts?
Well,
I don't know how long that's going to last. But
yeah, it's probably going to be that Bernard Raymond.
Rookie, yeah. Right, Raymond, yeah.
It's funny because,
yeah,
that kid, there's no way. Who would you rather have, that kid or Dillard?
Raymond?
Or no,
Matt Pryor.
Matt Pryor.
Yeah. Matt, probably Dillard. Probably Dillard. Yeah, probably Dillard. I just don't want to sit here and give Dillard some kind of, you know, anoint him anything when he has not done anything.
I hear you, but the guy was a former first round pick, and you don't want to give players away. Quite frankly, the other thing is, here's another one for you, which is legitimate. Obviously, he won't be back next year. Big V. Now, I know Big V started in the Super Bowl. That's why he got paid.
Yeah.
He got paid $10 million a year, which is shocking.
And now he's right guard.
Yeah. I mean, who could play tackle? He's got positional versatility where Dillard does not.
Correct.
But the question would be, before we move on here, because this is a playoff team, legitimately, do they look at it that way? You know, they may not look at it the same way we do. But, they turn out overtures. We reported prior during the trade deadline. And also there was some interest in Dillard before the draft. I know that. But
right.
We'll see what happens there. That's another interesting one. Because if everyone's healthy, they have obviously better depth. But right now it's hard.
It is. All right, I want to transition to defense, Adam, unless I think that's everything we got on offense.
Jack Anderson is...
Oh, and I forgot to mention Jack Anderson's name. Yeah, he's also in the mix.
He's definitely... they like him. See, the supposed Stoutland guys are just guys that he developed, he's really proud of. Not that he's not proud of everyone, but guys he's got a special relationship with. Is Isaac Seymalo, we were told... this is one of his guys that he's developed. They have a great relationship. We know Jack Driscoll, as you pointed out 2 years ago, was one of his guys. But Seymalo in particular, they've grown together because Isaac, in the first 2 years, were bad, where he couldn't get out of his own way. Confidence was down, and 18 was his breakout season.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big year. I do wonder with him, if he kicks ass, would they consider bringing him back?
We shall see. That's a good question.
Yeah, I never thought about that before until we just started talking about it. But that's
true.
We've covered like 30 players on offense.
I think. It was a lot on offense. I want to move to defense, and I want to do it backwards. I want to start from the back and go to the front. Ordinarily, we do it front to back, but I think the bigger news is in the back, so we'll get to that. First, as you heard us talking for quite a while now, we've got a great new partner, Freestone Farms CBD. It's our favorite CBD brand because they farm it themselves with all organic inputs, and they offer you some education on what they grow and how they grow it to make the best quality product on the market. We've tried a ton of different brands, but Freestone Farms CBD, it's just been amazing for us. We like it after workouts because it helps with that regular post-workout kind of drudgy feel. And then we also like it before bed because it helps us sleep better at night.
That's it does. Trust me.
What's more exciting is our friends at Freestone Farms have an all-new strain menu. You've heard us talk about the supremely good CBD that you will find at prices that you'll love. So go to freestonefarmscbd.com. You'll find it there. One of the strains we've talked about is the tropical tasting Bayox, clocking in at 24.1%. And of course, the super CBD. It's a half Hindu Kush, 21%. The genetics these guys use just don't get any better. They grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State with all organic inputs and IPM. Nothing synthetic from farm to jar. And after harvest, they carefully preserve the plant compounds with a perfect 3-month cure. All you need is a look or a smell to know that it's CBD done right and that it's the product great for anyone who's trying to take a more natural approach to what you put in your body. So use that promo code ITB to get 20% off at checkout. That's promo code ITB at checkout on freestonefarmscbd.com. All right, like I said, Adam, the news that we've gotten on the Eagles defense, we got to start with the back end.
Yeah. Oh, this is really fun. Go ahead. Right. Yeah, this is. I can't wait for this.
So some developments of corner and safety, and I don't even want to separate corner and safety because I think we have to kind of marry the two because as we've discussed schematically, what we hear that Jonathan Gannon wants to do is be able to match a lot. Some of last year we talked about pattern matching. Sometimes people call it mirror match, whatever it is. It's basically, you know, it's sort of a man's own hybrid, and he wants to be create guesswork for the quarterback on the back end. And obviously that requires a lot of communication, a lot of trading off from the corners and the safeties. It takes coverage acumen. Like you're going to have too many hard hitting safeties out there. You're not going to be able to pattern match. You need guys who can cover. And so why don't we talk about corner? Because I know that we both kind of heard a name and it was like, we know that the top two corners are Bradberry and Slay.
Yeah. We'll talk about all of them.
Yeah. We'll talk about all of them. And Avante Maddox is in the slot, and I have something on him. We have something on him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the big question is, what are they doing after that? And a name that has come up is who? Adam, take it away.
Yeah, so Josiah Scott.
Yeah.
Who they got? Who was a fourth rounder for Jacksonville?
Fourth round pick 2 years ago from Jacksonville, yeah.
Yeah, Dave Caldwell, who's an executive with the Eagles, who got promoted this year. Drafted him in fourth round in 2020. Mm-hmm. And he was with the Eagles, as we know, last year. He was on their opening day roster. He was on IR. He came off IR, didn't really play very much, but he's been one of the stories of camp. There's no question about it. I know the reporters who were there talked about him playing free safety. It's definitely true. But the key, this is what he's explained to me. Your fifth corner cannot just be a specials team, and you really don't want him just to be an inside or outside corner. You'd like him to be both, mm-hmm. because it just if let's just say he only played the slot. Well, if your slot corner doesn't get hurt, he's only going to be a special teams player. He probably won't play very much unless somebody gets hurt right. Outside or inside corner. So you'd like him to have a lot of ability, and they line him up everywhere apparently in camp, and he's been a great story, very quietly. I'm not going to go on a limb like when we said Jack Stoll's making this team. I think we might have said it the first week of August last year. I'm not there on Scott yet. I'm not saying the stuff we heard is true. It's absolutely true. You heard similar stuff. But I want to see what happens because he's a corner. I want to see what happens when he gets into games, the three preseason games. I want to see what happens. The joint practices, not that he's going to go up against the ones, but Miami's got very deep at wide receiver. See what happens in the practices. See what happens in the preseason against the Browns and the Dolphins and the joint practices. Let's mm-hmm. see what happens. But there's a saying in the National Football League, the more you can do gives you a better chance. And he's one of those more you can do guys, and give him credit. He's a pretty smart kid. So he's a great story that we really haven't talked about before. People had asked us, who's going to win the fifth corner? I said, we'll look into it. And we looked into it. So that's that. Zach McPherson, by the way, has had a good camp. This is his best camp of the two.
Right.
Get more and more confident, less and less mistakes. He's absolutely the third outside corner. I barring something highly unforeseen, that's the way it's going to stop. That's the way it's going to line up in the regular season. Jimmy Moreland, unfortunately, had what we're told is a slight ankle. You know, it's day to day. We'll see when it comes back. But he had not pushed McPherson yet, we're told. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Tate Gallen's not close to pushing them. Yep. Right? And then.
That's correct.
Yep. And then. Mm-hmm. Who else?
No, I was going to. Well, I mean, I've heard good things about Josh Jobe, who's obviously an undrafted uh-huh. free agent from Alabama. I haven't heard that he's, I've just heard that he's done well in practice. Obviously, he's a far way from making the 53. I think the other rookie free agent cornerback that we had talked about was Mario Goodrich.
Correct. That?
Yes. Yeah, but it sounds to me like Jobe's done a better job is ahead of him. And
Blackwell too.
These guys are going to get a ton of reps in the preseason game, so we'll be able to accurately say more if what they've shown early on, will continue. But I think you nailed it on the head with Josiah Scott as far as what they're envisioning and what they see, which is the versatility, the being able to do more than one thing. You can move him around, play slot, play third safety, and he can cover. It's different
inside
than
or out. Yeah, he's not just a slot. Yeah, you could better inside, but you could line him up everywhere.
Right.
That's
three positions, inside, outside, and potential third safety.
That's got a great value plus teams. So,
right.
Yeah, this is a good story. We'll see. Now, again, we're not willing to give him the rubber stamp yet. Let's see him go through every preseason and the practices and all that, the joint practices, the rest of the training camp. But yeah, I would say clearly right now he's the leading fifth corner. Maddox has had a great camp. This is his best camp.
Great camp. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to add that Maddox has had an outstanding
camp. Have you heard anything like what?
That's what I've heard. That he is.
No. But what specifically? Anything?
Just always around the ball. Knowing where to be. Remember, as we're detailing, they're trying to be a little bit more intricate on the back end. So you have to be, you can't just be good. You have to be smart. You have to know your assignment. You have to communicate well. His leadership, his play is at a high level right now. I mean, I was told it was his best. I mean, he's been on the team 4 years now.
Yeah.
5 years? Is it
fifth year? Yeah.
This is his fifth year. So this is camp number five for him, and it's his best one so far, by far so far. So that's really good news. I mean, we said this. Once they put him in the slot last year and left him there, he was going to then be able to work on his craft and improve and not worry about where the next snap is going to be. And he came in great shape, and he's doing everything they want him to do. So that's a great
– yeah.
I mean, it's look, it's great. You've got Slay, you got Bradbury, you got Maddox. That's going to be your top three, and that they're in a good place with that. Go ahead.
No, what are you going to say?
I was going to say it's good that they're in a good place with that because safety is a little bit of a struggle for them right now.
We'll get to that in a minute. So let me finish this off. Bradbury's been tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, if you graded who are the top 10 performers in practice, he's in the top five. Maybe you would argue if you said top three, he's been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
The word we were given is very sticky, which means no one's getting by him. He's right up on the receivers. He's super fluid. Slay's a better athlete. Mm-hmm. Bradbury's a little bit longer, but he's been great. I love that term, sticky. I get that one. Even a dummy like me can figure that out. So he's been great. Slay certainly had his moments where A.J. Brown's gotten the best of him.
And Slay has struggled as an Eagle against the more physical receivers.
Oh,
DK Metcalf, the Devontae Adamses.
That's it.
Of the world. It was mostly 2 years ago. McLaurin gave him some problems 2 years ago. Not so much last year.
No, Slay was great last year.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, yeah, he's fantastic last year. I don't feel like last year he saw as many big physical receivers as he saw two years ago when he had to play Metcalf and Devontae and some other guys. So
that sticks out so well when Metcalf abused him. Did he get a lot of space?
Yeah, Metcalf's good. I mean, what are you going to do? Metcalf
abuses got Drew Lock and Geno Smith thrown to him. We'll see how good he is for fantasy. But this tandem, these two corners, I guess based on what we've been told, Bradbury's been better than Slay in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, it's not like Slay's been bad, but if you graded every snap, Bradbury would be better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many plays I didn't ask how many plays Bradbury's been given up, but we're just told he's been great. And to the point where you ask yourself, why did the Giants cut him? We know it was cap related, one of the rare cap casualties. It's almost like they're none anymore, but this one's true, really, truly one.
Right. They had to pay they couldn't pay their rookies if the way it was at the time, right? They hadn't.
They were dire. In fact, they couldn't bring back Devontae Booker, was only making ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's a good backup runner. But anyway, so this is high character kid. Yeah. This is, he's the kind of guy, if he plays well, if this could be, we'll just see. We'll see.
Yeah. Let's see.
He just turned 29, but if he plays well and we're in December, don't be shocked if they re-sign him or if they extend his contract. Don't be shocked.
We will see on that. Safety. Look, Jaquaski Tartt, from what we understand, he's not there yet. He's learning the playbook. It's a different playbook. It has nothing to do with injury or conditioning. That's fine. It's just that he's just not there yet as far as being ready to go out and execute this defense. If they had to play a game today, they don't have to play a game today. There's time, but we can't sit here and tell you that we've heard he came to camp and wow, it's like they're amazed with what he's been able to do on the field. So
yeah, they play primarily zone defense in San Francisco or mm-hmm. Santa Clara, to be honest. That's where they are. But wide nine front, responsibilities are different on the run, coverages are different. Mm-hmm. This is a challenge for safety. He's not a corner. He's a safety. Mm-hmm. He's different. Responsibilities are different than corners are. It's just different for him, and he's got to get it. And he's not pushing Harris yet, if at all. You know, this safety position for the Eagles, it's a clear weakness. I don't think this is a secret to anyone who follows the team. They know it. We know it. You know, Epps is a good player. He's their best coverage guy. It's a big year for him. They're optimistic. They're cautiously, I don't want to say cautiously, they're optimistic that what they're seeing now, because he's performed well, will be what they see in season, but he's never put it together before.
Right.
And what a year to do it when you're on the final year of his rookie deal. And then Tart, they just got to be patient. They just got to, it's not a lack of want to. It's a challenging situation.
Sure.
And we'll see what happens. The preseason work's going to be important for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, the list is long of veteran safeties who've tried to come here and assimilate, you know, going back to like OJ Atagwe and Jarrett Page. And, oh, man, so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And it's too early to tell whether it's going to work. You like that, OJ. You love the OJ Atagwe pull.
Dude,
I just see that smile on your face.
OJ Atagwe, number 21. I had such high hopes for him because he was such a very underrated player. Yet another guy who came here, I don't know if he was washed up or just couldn't play anymore. Oh, he was not who I thought he was, right, man. I thought he was going to be a stud here because he's so good for the Rams. Yep. Nope, wasn't here.
Will Parks, you can put his name on that list.
That hamstrings. He was out 2 months.
And it's not like he's had gone on and had a flourishing career.
No, he hasn't. I know, but they had a certain way they were going to use him, and it never happened. I know they were at the time they signed him, they were so excited to see what he can do. And by the way, on Bradbury's contract, we're told that he's got a 4-year void, but what he has is to get to the $10 million of upside because he's going to make a minimum of $7.25 million. The team achievement, getting in the playoffs, interception starting at 4, and I believe Pro Bowl to get it all.
Okay.
But four interceptions, that's not easy, but but there's intervals. If it gets 4, it's this much. If it gets 5, you know, that kind of thing. So
there you go. All right. So that'll pretty much wraps it up on defensive backs. We'll get into the linebackers in a second. I want to remind everybody to check out our friends at PHLSportsNation.com, enhancing the fans' experience with their coverage of all Philadelphia sports teams. For the fan, by the fan, that is their motto. So make sure you check them out at PHLSportsNation.com and on Twitter at PHLSportsNation. And we'll pause real quick to catch a word from our other great sponsors, including our friends at Sky Motor Cars.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sky Motor Cars in Westchester is a different sort of dealership. All it takes is one look at their Highline pre-owned vehicles that people all over the country want and need. Owner Brett Schulter, make sure you don't spend a dime of your money before you purchase the car. Sky Motor Cars allows you to make all the decisions regarding your next vehicle. At Sky Motor Cars, you never have to spend more than necessary. Visit SkyMotorCars.com today or call 610-918-7225.
And if you stop in at Sky Motor Cars in Westchester, PA, make sure you tell them Adam and Jess sent you. You'll get a great deal. All right. Speaking of deals, linebacker. So linebacker is an interesting spot because it's not like – I don't think most of the top four are decided. It's just kind of what roles they're going to play. I mean, we know T.J. Edwards. We'll get to him in a second. T.J. Edwards, Kaiser White, they draft N'Kobe Dean, and they've got Davion Taylor. And in some form or fashion, those four linebackers are going to play. I think, you know, we'll get to N'Kobe Dean in a second. But I will say that I've probably come from my mouth that I didn't think T.J. Edwards was going to be able to be a nickel this year. I thought that N'Kobe Dean would probably come and take that job, and he still might, or like Dean and Kaiser White. But he's making it very difficult. T.J. Edwards is having a really good camp from what we understand. If you go back and look at what they got when they signed him a couple of years ago as an undrafted free agent, he was a downhill linebacker, not the greatest athlete, good intelligence, thought that he would help in run defense. He has tried to improve his athleticism. I mean, he's shed a little bit of weight. He's worked on it. But from my understanding, Adam, where he is really advanced in the intellectual side of the game. And that's why when you see him, he knows where to be. He gets in front of a lot of balls. He gets his hands on balls. He's just very smart and understands where he's supposed to be at all times. And we already know he plays the run very well. I was told he's having a good camp, which makes it difficult to take him off the field.
That actually had a great camp. And not only is he a great camp, this thing that shocked me is that his coverage area, I think you talked about this last year. You'd heard that he got, you know, I don't know if you say faster. I can't remember exactly what you said, but you'd said in the offseason, you'd heard he improved in coverage, or apparently he's been one of the best coverage linebackers in training camp. This is something I never would have believed.
Well, you know how we talk about your play speed can be different than your time speed, because if you have an advanced understanding of where to be, you can run to that spot knowing where to go. And his play speed has improved. I think if he ran a 40 right now, it's probably not that much different than when he first got in league, or maybe last year or the year before. But that's why we always talk about your 40 doesn't really tell you all the time what your play speed is. And his play speed has been phenomenal.
It's great. That's a great way to say it. So apparently he's had one of the best camps of any player on offensive defense. Mm-hmm. Now, the question, we'll move this along here, because the coaches are going to have to figure this out once we get to the regular season. If this keeps up, which you would think it would, because he knows what he's doing, and he's been one of the best linebackers in camp, and Dean is starting to come along from what you hear. Mm-hmm. Dean is a phenomenal blitzer, one of the best blitzing inside linebackers for this draft. So you ask yourself this, you drafted Dean to be an every now and back, and no one knew that Edwards would be this good at this point. We'll see if it continues. Look, it's a good thing to have. I mean, we've made fun of these linebackers for 5 years since we've done the show. It's been a joke. But they're on their way to finally getting this right. And we'll get to Reddick in a second and Kaiser White. They've got some challenge. This is a good problem to have, I guess. And Davion Taylor's put some weight on. As we noted months ago, he's taken up yoga to help him get flexibility. He's put the weight on. And, and so far, so good. He hasn't been hurt yet. Hopefully he won't. So we know they're going to be a super duper multiple defense. You're going to, from week one week to next, they can morph into something else, kind of like the Wingland would do in their hate when they really were innovative. I'm not putting Gannon on Belichick's level, but that's what made Belichick great, because you didn't quite know when you're watching the tape. Okay, they're doing this week, then they morph into something the next week. Well, Gannon has done so much with their fronts and their coverages, and you've got these linebackers, these multi-position linebackers. One guy could play inside. One guy could be a blitzer.
Right.
One guy could be an overhang player, which we talked about. So the multiplicity with this defense of these players, man, it's pretty interesting.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with some of the bottom roster linebackers who have been on the team either last year or the year before because they are great at special teams like Sean Bradley, or because they were draft picks like a Patrick Johnson. This year they took Caron Johnson, Jacoby Stevens. All these guys can't make it. You've already got four. Exactly. We already outlined four stack linebackers who are going to make it. And you know Hassan Reddick is going to make it. That's five right there, even though he's more of a strong side pass rusher. But you can't keep all those guys. So it's going to be good competition to see who makes it and plays on special teams.
Well, Kyron Johnson is going to make the team. He's going to be on specials. He's one of the fastest players on the team. In fact, what we had heard, pass rush-wise, he's opened some eyes. Mm-hmm. Remember Andy Weidel talked about it post-draft with Roseman
right.
about what they saw at the Senior Bowl. Well, he's showing up. Yep. You know, he's showing up when he gets a chance. He's so like it. It's you don't. Reddick is a little bit stronger, but he's also not tall. They've got two speed guys. Like, what did Andy Reid say? Fast. He likes to throw fastballs.
Yeah.
But Reddick is, you know, get to him now. He's been as advertised. He's been phenomenal. Everything they thought he would be, he's been. He hasn't been terrible in coverage. A little they've asked him to do it. He's mm-hmm. he's sort of held his own. But you're not going against an NFL offense now. You're going against a controlled offense that. Mm-hmm. But you wonder though when it's real for real, what how much he'll rush. We assume because they're paying him to $15 million a year. It's going to be a lot. I'm going to trust Gannon here that he's going to have him primarily as a pass rusher because that's what he's supposed to do. As more of a 34 outside linebacker, as an overhang player. He's been great. Kaiser White's done a nice job as an inside linebacker. I believe he'll be on the weak side when they play 43, mm-hmm. inside when they play a 34. Edwards is – here's a question for you. We know in a 34 where he's playing. I guess he'd be the – like if 1 week they're going to play a 43, I guess he's a starting Mike.
Yeah, I think that would be fair. Yeah.
And Dean back him up.
Look, I mean, if they're playing if they're playing a 40 front and they're in nickel, it sounds like right now Edwards is going to be one of the nickel guys.
White. Not White. Dean. No, right. I'm glad you brought that up because the move at four, that's the other thing we were going to get to, and we just got it. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely the truth because Dean now. Well, actually, let's just see.
I think we got to see how this thing works out.
Right. Yeah, Edwards has been so much better. He's making plays. He's instinctive. I love the way you set that up like 5 minutes ago.
Mm.
It makes you play faster when you're not fast.
Right.
Consequently, the other way is when we used that example with Ronald Darby a couple of years ago. He had slow eyes. It makes you slower because you're later to react when in essence he's unbelievably fast.
All right.
But when you can't react, when you're thinking out there just a split second, it makes you look slower. So that's a great point you made. So other than that, that's pretty much it at linebacker.
Yeah. And, you know, as we transition and finish it off with defensive line, I can't say this is like the most solid and secure group that they have on the entire team. Of course we've got some notes on some guys, but specifically Jordan Davis being a rookie, but most of these guys like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, we've already said looks very explosive and, mm-hmm. and back to normal. And, you know, Hassan Reddick is a pass rusher. He's explosive. So I did hear Marlon Tuipulotu continues to look good.
Yeah.
So that's a good development for them. Again, they're going to need somebody who can play over the center as a nose if Jordan Davis is hurt or struggling or whatever it is. And Tuipulotu has that ability. So, you know, when they wound up waiving Luther Ellis, I think, who had an injury, you know, they were really missing that kind of backup space.
Ellis is Luther's his dad. What was his first
name? Oh, what did I say? I didn't mean Luther Ellis. I meant
Noah
Ellis. Yeah, thank you.
And the other Ellis is still on the roster, Christian.
Right, Christian Ellis still there as linebacker. But so they needed somebody to be who could potentially have that ability, and Marlon Tuipulotu's had it. He's healthier this camp, so that helps too.
Having
a good camp doesn't mean he's definitely making the team. It just means
he's in the conversation is our term. He's in the conversation to make it. You know they're moving Cox around as they did in Saturday's practice. That we'll see once we get because with Gannon you got to take a leap of faith that because last year, and I don't want to put the full blame on him, he couldn't do what majority of the stuff they did in the preseason or training camp, the special stuff, he just couldn't do it because he didn't have the players, he didn't have the depth, mm-hmm. also didn't have the coverage players. Now he's got everything. You can't point the finger at the front office anymore. They can't do any more than they've done. I literally cannot. You want to trade for Jesse Bates, and that's a different story, who you can't extend till next year because he's on the franchise tag. I'm not saying they are, folks, to be clear. Mm-hmm. I know fans want that to happen. That would be the only thing that you could possibly do. They were not on them last check, but you never know what that means. Maybe they look into it. Who knows? Because if the Eagles or any other team think that he's serious about this because he hasn't signed his franchise tag, so he can't get fined. If he takes this to late August, late this month, you know, if he takes it to early September, doesn't sign, who knows? Who knows? But anyway, Milt Williams is, you know, the minor injury came back after one or two practices.
That was good.
Elbow, you know, he's going to line up at both spots, more inside than outside. Jordan Davis flashes every practice. His weight, by the way, his weight, we're told, I'm wrong. I thought it was 360. He looked it. I see the guy go by him. His gut's a little bigger than you'd like at his age.
His everything is bigger than
I know. Believe. That's what I have to get used to. Because I was right on Mount Milata last year. He looked heavy. He was 20 pounds overweight. And he lost it. 20, 25 pounds over. He lost it. But Davis, we're told, is in the 340s. Don't know the exact number, but he's okay. You know, I don't know what weight they want him at. In the end, you know, what's realistic? Is 330 realistic? 325 when he's
I think he said year, but they want him between 335 and 345 in that neighborhood.
I'm pretty sure he's definitely there. That. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got so the water weight, you know, we'll lose it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Hargrave, Adam. I was told Hargrave before the injury was having another excellent camp.
Okay.
So, which is always good. I mean, he had an excellent year.
Contract year.
Sure, a guy keeps it up. Contract year, so that helps him. But another really good, you know, just continuing to pick up from where he left off. So that was good.
I mean, this rotation between Cox, who looks, the way we heard is he looks energized. Maybe it's because Gannon's moving him around. I don't know, but apparently he's happy to be back. Obviously, he's making good coin. So you got Graham, who you mentioned, and Barnett.
I don't know what they're going to do with Derek Barnett, but apparently, you know, from what we understand, he's going to have some kind of role. I mean, I don't think they're going to cut. They're not going to try this whole Jordan Howard cut and then bring back on the practice squad because they gave him a lot of money.
$7 million.
Yeah.
For the season. No, he's going to have he'll be in the DN rotation and the outside linebacker stand up overhang rotation.
Yeah.
Sweaty. This is his best camp. Josh Sweat has been phenomenal, we're told. Again, the positivity, folks, we just tell you what we hear.
Right.
And we run it by a lot of people, and this is what we hear. He looks great. I saw him with my own eyes. What a story of development he's been, man. If we all know, if we followed his career in number one high school recruit in the country, almost not only was his career over, potentially, he came within inches of not being able to do anything with that one leg. And what a story. Great for him. Got a really nice contract. Good job by his agent. And it's he's one of their best defensive players. There's no question. He's been an incredible story. And he's still doing standing up with him. He's playing with his hand down. Obviously, he'll play more standing with his hand down than up. But, you know, I still argue that he's not as comfortable standing up. They don't really line him up inside. He's not he doesn't do that in nickel with Brandon, like Brandon Graham does.
He's an edge guy.
Yes, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, although he's super long, you love to have interior guys who are long. He's not. His get off isn't as good like that.
Right.
Marvin Wilson, we're told, is he kind of like Sasha Ray. He has a couple really good snaps per practice. You go, wow, okay, let's see more of this. So I still don't believe it because they're going to have a numbers problem. If the roster wasn't good, I could see them keeping five D tackles and go short a corner or short, you know, online, but they have this roster is so good. I don't see how, even if Tui Polotu blows it up and he continues what he's doing now, we're not going to do a roster projection yet. Maybe we'll do it in a week or so, just an early look at our early dart throws, you know, just in terms of 53, our first look at 53. It's Tui Polotu, man. Cosell taught us last year. His tape, he showed some. Now that he's not a sack guy, but he shows some good pressures.
Pressure. He's a good pocket pusher is the way you
there
describe
you go.
It.
Right. Yeah. So that's interesting. So that's that is it. We've covered about 70 players, folks. I don't know.
It is. So there's only two more practices between now and our next podcast. So our next podcast will feature heavily on what happens then and then anything we're hearing about moves being made and more potential 53 stuff. So we did it. We just emptied the notebook there. That was our mid-camp progress report, and I don't think it could have been any meatier or beefier I'm out of energy. Yeah, we just emptied it all there. So look forward to doing that again in a couple of weeks.
That was a good one, man.
Camp was at the end. Yeah. So that's going to do it for this edition of Inside the Birds, the leading podcast in Eagles intel. Just proved it again. Big thanks to our producer, Tyler Strasser, doing a great job. And as always, we thank you for flying with us inside the birds.